check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Welcome to episode 97 of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the Owner's Box app. I'm Nathan Dokken. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dokken. I'm joined today by a man who likes his snow the same as he likes his women, piled high in a ditch, Joe Osachi.
Oh, I was hoping he'd have a new joke this time, but I guess we'll stick with the snow one. But it's apropos, as they say, as we are here in North Dakota in the worst blizzard of like the last 10 years. The snow is piled to the ceilings of people's houses and nobody can leave their house. So we're just going to stay here inside and do a podcast.
I think it might be the worst storm of all time, Joe.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. I can remember some when I was a little kid where, like, you know, and I lived on a farm, but, like, you'd go outside and there would be literally 20-foot-high snowdrifts. I haven't seen any of that yet today. But
well, there's a drift on my back deck that's at least – it's a good 5'8". It's just about approaching my height.
Yeah, but as we discussed, that's really only Francisco Lindor height at this point.
That's true. Yes, I was ordered to sculpt it like Francisco Lindor, and I said, nay. It shall be Jose Ramirez, for he is my boy.
Yeah, he's probably about that height anyway.
But, yeah, of course, it's freezing outside. We've got wind chills in the negative 30s, whiteout conditions. And so we're staying inside. We're letting the MLB hot stove keep us warm and toasty. And you know what else is keeping me toasty, Joe?
Nope.
Pootie Tang. Oh, yeah. Little Pootie Tang going on.
I see.
Yes.
Have you really literally been drinking all day long then?
No, if I had been drinking Pootie Tang all day, I would not be functioning right now.
You want to tell the people what that is?
Well, it's a concoction that I created on this very morning. I was texting with our field reporter, Mike Wetzel, of course, and he was talking about putting rum chata in his coffee and how amazing it is. And I was like, God dang it, I don't have any rum chata. So I started looking in my fridge, and I'm like, well, I got some Tang, so let's check the old liquor cabinet, see what I could possibly mix in there to quench my alcoholic thirst at 11 in the morning. And I came out with some triple sec and some Beef Eater Jim gin.
You threw a guy named Jim in there?
Beef Eater Jim, actually, that's my neighbor, old Beef Eater Jim, I call him.
Yeah.
He's always eating beef, you see.
Well, yeah. I figured.
Yeah. He's like, hey, neighbor, you want some beef? I'm like, nah.
He's just walking around with hamburgers or else roast beef or whatever.
Right. He frequently throws
steak.
Roast at me. Yeah. Old Beef Eater Jim. Beef Eater Gin, actually, is what that was supposed to be. So tossed a little shot of that, a little shot of triple sec. Topped it off with some beautiful Tang. There you go. You got Pootie Tang.
And how is that?
It's delicious. Not even lying.
I don't even really know if I've ever had Tang in my life. I've heard, is it kind of like orange juice? But
it is, sugar? Yeah. It's really sugary.
Sweeter, yeah, sugary.
Yeah, but it's a citrusy drink, so it paired well with triple sec, which I didn't even remember purchasing. I don't know. I can't believe that was in my liquor cabinet, but yeah, so that paired well in there. And then, of course, everybody loves a little gin.
Who doesn't? Yeah, with juice especially. Tang in this case.
Indeed. So yeah, that's there you go. There's a recipe to keep you all warm in the winter.
I think that everyone should make one of those while they're listening to this, even if you're at work or driving.
Absolutely. Don't let us stop you. I mean, and don't say that the NastyCast never did anything for you.
Yeah, we've given you reason to drink and drive or potentially get fired.
Amen. Yeah. So what's your favorite drink to mix? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter @fantasyamateurs.
Yeah, and for once, somebody out there actually do what Nate says. I mean, just once. Wouldn't it be fun? He always says that, you know, like, what's your favorite, blah, blah, blah. I mean, let's have somebody actually email us and tell us what their favorite drink to mix is.
Right. Especially if you came up with it by yourself like I did.
Yeah, it would be way cooler if you have a thing like that. Like, what was that weird drink you told me you were going to make that was named after a girl?
The Betsy Special.
Exactly. If someone has a Betsy Special.
I mean, that's a hell of a drink right there, for sure.
Like, I don't know if we have time for another drink story, maybe another day.
We'll save that for a slightly warmer day.
Okay.
Because we do have a lot to get to and not a lot of time to get to it. We're going to go through most of the bigger hot stove items that have happened so far in this fantastic off season, which is kicking up now that the winter meetings are together. The winter meetings, however.
You're just a master of the English language tonight.
Maybe I should lay off the pootie
cake. You and Beefeater Jim have been down at the winter meetings too often.
Oh, God. Yeah, we round up all the local miscreants and put them in a snowdrift.
Sure, eat as much beef as you can.
That's right.
Meatballs, that'd be another beef you could eat.
Hey! Talking about meatballs over there? Anthony Rizzo, that's me!
Anthony, we don't
have
any
time. I won the World Series!
Oh, yeah, congratulations.
What do you think about that?
Were you the MVP?
No, that was my buddy KB, but I was, you know, I would have hit better, but I had a bunch of mozzarella cheese on my fingers. The bat slipped out of my grip a little bit.
Well, I would suggest next time using a napkin or something like that. But good to talk to you, Anthony.
Hey, I'll catch you later.
Yep, see you next time.
What? That guy is always around.
It's always good to have guests on the show.
It is, yeah, especially when they're premier guests like Anthony Rizzo.
I suppose we could have gave him a little more airtime since he did just win the World Series, but we got a lot to do today.
Yeah,
1 hour to do it.
We got a lot on the table, so we got to move. After we do the hot stove stuff, we're going to talk about the first couple rounds of our 2017 Dynasty Mock Draft, which we are currently balls deep into right now.
Sure, I just drafted someone that's going to jail.
You did? So, old Gongi Kong. Gongi Kong. Is that
yep.
new? Did I just make that up?
I've never heard it before, but we'll take it.
Probably because it's terrible. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not good.
So we're going to talk about a lot of Dynasty stuff after we get through this hot stove talk. So without further ado, let's go on to the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Maybe we could get Jesse to give us like a little sizzle sound or something like that, since it's the hot stove.
Yeah, he's not here, though. You do realize that.
I know, but he's not dead or anything. He can still do things.
Oh, he's not. Oh, okay. I guess I was misinformed. But
I mean, he was lost a week ago in one of the 20-foot snowdrifts in front of his house. But I assume he's still in there. I drove by on the highway, and I used a T-shirt cannon to launch a sandwich into that snowbank. So I'm sure he found that, and he's feasting upon it, keeping himself warm.
Yeah, one sandwich a month. That's really all he needs.
Right, yeah. That'll keep you going. He's got all the snow you can drink.
Yeah, you just eat the snow, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's warm and toasty. Anyway, this just happened on this very day, and it's freaking awesome. Blockbuster deal went down. Chris Sale goes to the Red Sox in exchange for Yoan Moncada, Michael Kopech, Luis Basabe, and Victor Diaz. So, of course, there's all kinds of real-life ramifications and opinions on that trade, but we don't care about that. We're strictly going to talk about fantasy here. So the fantasy slant for this, Joe, we're just going to kind of do what we've always done, value up down to the same for Chris Sale going to the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, we were texting with Jesse about it because he owns Chris Sale. And I said, you know, it's no reason to jump out of your window into the big snowbank and try and freeze to death or anything like that. But it's slightly down. I mean, David Price had that really bad year in Boston. So he's, you know, there's probably reason for some people to worry. Just fantasy people, not baseball people. But, you know, just because Price had like a 4 ERA last year. But I think Sale's better than Price. He's younger than Price. But it is going to be, I think, a slight downtick. And the only reason, it's not really the ballparks, it's just that the quality of the teams in the division. Because facing the Twins all the time, and, you know, even the Royals don't have a good offense. And, like, that just helps you out. It's like a, you know, whatever, 2% downtick maybe.
Right, yeah, if anything, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when you're talking about somebody of the caliber of Chris Sale, you don't really worry about where they pitch. So, yeah, I agree. No. You know, and you still do have a couple games at the Trop where you can
throw
them out there. So that helps. But what about on the other side? Of course, the headline here is Yoan Moncada, whom you apparently like because you drafted him. Spoiler alert, you took him in our Dynasty League. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But what do you see the impact of this trade having for Yoan Moncada?
Well, I thought he had a chance to play this year anyway, so maybe it's just value the same because I thought that all the signs pointed to him being the Red Sox third baseman sooner rather than later. But you don't, you know, that. So I don't know. It's even possible the White Sox are even more patient with him since they seem to be doing a rebuild. So maybe they don't, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's even worse. But obviously at some point he's like the future of the White Sox. So
yeah. And
he's like the future of the franchise now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's obviously, he's shaping up to be a generational talent. You know, a lot of people are already comparing him to Robinson Cano. So a guy who's got pretty much great tools across the board. You know, had a huge season in the minors last year. Inauspicious debut as in his September call-up where he struck out, I think, 7 at-bats in a row and basically rode the pine the rest of the year.
Yeah, but I mean, that's really irrelevant in my book.
Absolutely. You know, so I wouldn't even be surprised. The White Sox have Brett Lowry at second base. That's his, you know, that's where he came up through the minors as a second base.
Yeah.
Brett Lowry is not a huge roadblock for him there. But also, like you said, with third base, Todd Frazier, now that Sale is gone, he's rumored to be the next guy that's getting shipped off. There's rumors now that he might be going out to the Dodgers. They're interested in him now with Justin Turner gone. So if Todd Frazier does head out to L.A. or wherever he goes, you know, that's you could just slot in Moncada right there.
Yeah, but I mean, they might not do it on opening day or whatever. I don't think the Red Sox were going to do it on opening day, right. And I don't think the White Sox will do it on opening day.
No.
So I don't think it matters either way. He's just going to be like this year's, you know, do I draft this minor leaguer in the, whatever, 17th round of my draft? And my answer is still probably going to be no, but I think eventually he'll come up and be a monster. But I don't think that he's going to start this year in the big leagues at the start of the season, but
yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised either if he gets the Chris Bryant timeline, you know,
in the season. Yeah, super two, blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah. So he immediately, like without thinking about it too much, he would probably be my number one, like, rookie stash of the year. Trying to think who else, you know. Lucas Giolito's stock is down. Who knows what they're going to do there. So, but yeah, and, you know, Michael Kopech, Basabe and Victor Diaz, they're nothing to sneeze at either. So really good return as far as I'm concerned for the White Sox.
Yeah, I think everybody was crapping on the Red Sox because they're trading away their whole awesome farm system. But at the same time, they still have a ton of young talent. They got Benintendi and Mookie Betts, and now Jackie Bradley somehow has turned into a stud. And so they still have a bunch of young talent.
Oh, yeah, and don't forget Rafael Devers coming up, although he's still pretty young, and Anderson Espinoza. Oh, wait. Oh, never mind. Womp, womp. Anyway, you got to win at some point. Having that rotation is just ridiculous for the Red Sox, putting Chris Sale in front of David Price. But anyway, moving on to another Red Sox move that they made today. They also picked up Mitch, don't be a bitch, Moreland, to presumably play first base / DH with Hanley Ramirez. So what do you think about the value for Mitch Moreland?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's going to be platooning at the, you know, so he's not going to get a ton of at bats. I probably like him about the same as I liked him in Texas, which at times was more than I should have because he kind of sucked.
Yeah, he had a down year last year after a really good 2015, sort of out of nowhere. Of course, our buddy, what's his name, who we give pennies to, he really liked him early on.
The Dinkelman?
Yeah, Harvey Dinkelman, there you go.
You always forget his name, which is odd that you're the one that forgets it.
Why do you think that's odd, Joe?
I'm just, of the three of us, you know, you're closest with him.
Am I?
He always is over at your house drinking highballs and stuff, I thought.
Well, that's true, and of course, those copper drinks, whatever those are called, Moscow Mules, he really likes
sure.
those.
Sure, yeah, I actually really like those, too.
Well, so do I. That's why we always drink them. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, for Mitch Moreland, you know, a better lineup, I would say, since, you know, the Red Sox, it didn't get any better than the Red Sox last year as far as scoring runs. So there's that. So maybe you can give him a bump in an RBI.
Yeah, I just don't think the playing time is going to be there unless Hanley gets hurt, which he probably will. But in shallowish leagues, even like 12-team leagues, he'll probably be there on your waiver wire. You pick him up if Hanley gets hurt or whatever.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good injury replacement or in a deeper league, a corner infield option.
Yeah, if you're in a 15-team league, at corner, you could do worse. Although he's not exactly like you're probably going to hope for some power numbers, but I mean the batting average and all that stuff have left something to be desired.
Right.
The last couple of years, so it's just, you know, he might do better in Fenway, but Texas was a good lineup and a good place to hit as well.
Indeed. Okay. Enough Red Sox talk. We're going to talk some Brewers a little bit here. Never mind.
Well,
this is actually
really.
Yeah, this is actually Red Sox news as well because they have acquired Tyler Thornburg from the Brewers in exchange for Travis Shaw. So presumably Shaw is going to man third base now in Milwaukee. I mean, obviously Tyler Thornburg just sets up Kimbrel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unless Kimbrel falls apart like he did down the stretch last year, but they're going to give him, you know, a ton of leash to keep the job. And Thornburg was great last year, but you need setup men too, so I assume that's what it'll be.
Yeah. So I assume then with Thornburg out of the picture, you get Corey Knebel closing.
Oh, yeah, I didn't actually think about what that meant for the Milwaukee bullpen yet. I mean, there's time. Things that can shake out. They can acquire other people. Who knows? Can go and pick up Jose Valverde or somebody like that. Jose Mesa, maybe. Bring him out of retirement.
Jose, yeah, he'll be a stud.
Remember Jose Mesa? He was a stud.
Of course.
Closing for the Indians back in 1997, that World Series. Of course, he blew the World Series, but still.
That was a good year. But Travis Shaw will, yeah, like I said, man third. Probably platoon, maybe with, I don't know, Scooter Jeanette's sort of out of the picture now. Maybe you got Hernan Perez, I suppose, a super utility guy. Maybe he platoons with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Milwaukee sucks. He might play every
year. Yeah, but allegedly
he's not, a bad little player.
No.
Shaw, that is.
Yeah. Definitely want to platoon him. But anyway, they're going to move Jonathan Villar over to second, which, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't affect his offensive abilities. It just probably gives him multi-position eligibility and makes him even more lucrative an asset in fantasy.
Yeah, for that 1 year.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, shortstop and second base are, like, actually shortstop might be better than second base now. It's hard to say.
Oh, I think absolutely it is. Second base is gross.
Yeah, there's a few guys that it gets gross in a hurry.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that a little bit more in our Dynasty Draft portion of the show.
Okay.
Moving on to other Brewers news, they have DFA'd Chris Carter and signed Eric Thames, or Timms, or Thames, or however you want to say it.
I don't know.
Yeah, so do you think Thames can do the same thing that Carter did last year? 40 bombs, horrible average.
He can probably do the horrible average. I mean, I don't know. I guess, geez. I'm seeing, last year. I mean, Chris Carter had 41 homers last year, so it is a bit odd that they're just going to dump him to add this guy. But
yeah, it's partially money.
I guess. I was just looking some of his – where was he at the last couple of years? Playing for the NC Dinos.
Yeah, like Korea, I think, KBO. Oh,
yeah. anyway. I mean, so those numbers are video game-ish, so it's really kind of hard to care. You know, we've seen a couple people come over and, you know, like Byung-ho Park Failure. Jung Ho Kong was actually a pretty decent success. So it's kind of hard to say.
He started drugging women and getting a DUI.
Yeah, he's not exactly been a character guy.
No.
But other than that, he's played baseball pretty well. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not all that interested in Thames or Thames. Or...
Well, what do you, okay, so.
Just because I don't like saying his name.
It is kind of annoying. I don't know how to say it.
I don't know it either. Thames?
I've heard that's how you spell it. Whatever. I'm going to say Thames because I like it. Yeah. So next year, Thames or Moreland?
Well, I'd probably take Thames there because he's going to play more, I think. And just at that point, you know, because I assume that'll also be late. And then you're just going to get more counting stats out of this guy, even though he'll kill your average even more.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like he's got definitely a lower floor, but also more upside. Like, he's sort of a wild card to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you might get – I don't think you're going to get 40, but, I mean, you know, he might hit 25 to 30 home runs while just tanking every tanking your average or your OBP or whatever, whereas Moreland might be more respectable, but he's probably only going to hit, like, 15 homers.
Yeah, so depending on where they go, you know, if you want to take the upside there, especially if he's just if you're looking at a bench player instead of like somebody who you're actually relying on, definitely gotta give me Thames. So getting into a whole bunch of Astros news now, we're gonna start off with the Brian McCann trade. He was acquired from the Yankees for minor league pitchers Albert Abreu and Jorge Guzman. So what do you think of the value for McCann now going to Houston?
Well, it's a good park and a good lineup, but he had that. I mean, Yankee Stadium was like the best power porch for lefties in the whole game. So, I mean, he's a switch hitter, but I feel, I mean, I think whatever they call Astros Park now, used to be Minute Maid Park, didn't it? Is it still?
I believe it is.
Okay, so down there, that I feel like that's a pretty good place for righties, which McCann, you know, is occasionally, but he hits more from the left side. So it's probably a little bit of value down even when ballpark and... I don't see any differences with playing time or anything like that, so I don't really think it's a whole lot of difference for him. The Yankees actually, even though they sucked the last couple of years, it wasn't really because of their offense.
Yeah, that's true. So
more pitching troubles. So I don't know that, like, you know, you can people might overvalue him almost a little bit because they'll be that Astros lineup looks pretty. You know, it looks really sexy time.
Yes. So
everyone's going to be excited to get a piece of the Astros lineup, I feel like.
That's, you know, I was just watching the MLB Network, and that's exactly how they described the Astros lineup next year. Like, the Astros lineup is
sexy.
You know, sexy time.
Pretty sexy time.
So, yeah, the Flores Roflo, he said that.
Yeah, I could. Did he really? I hope he did.
No, he really didn't, but.
Yeah, but he could.
But he could.
I can't. He was on ESPN sometime back when he used to be on the fantasy show.
Yeah.
He said something so incredibly inappropriate, and then Barry talked about it on the podcast the next day. He's like, Ralph Flores, you're just trying to get fired. I don't know what he's thinking. And then he left not that long after and went to MLB Network. So I don't know if that was related, and I wish I could remember what he said. But he just made it a joke, and it was just nobody laughed.
Really?
That it was really, really inappropriate. Yeah. And so, like all the other people, like Stefania Bell and whoever else were standing there, they just did not laugh and just hung him out to dry.
Jesus.
Because they were just terrified to laugh because it was, I think it was, oh man, I can't remember. It was like some kind of sex joke, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If Pod Vader was there, then he would have comedy goalied that for sure, you're saying.
No, this was on TV.
Oh, okay. I thought this was on the podcast.
He did that on live television.
Oh, that's way worse then.
Yeah.
People actually
and then Barry
channel.
Just commented on it on the podcast. Exactly. And I don't know if he really got, like, I don't know if he left, like, right then, but, you know, within like, 3-4 months, he was at MLB Network. So.
Oh, man. Poor Rolfo. Anyway. More Astros news. They signed Charlie Morton to a 2-year, $14 million deal. What do you think?
I hate Charlie Morton. He sucks.
Okay. But no, we can't move on from that, but... Yeah, he actually was really good last year before he went down with injury. So I think he's a pretty nice late round dart throw. I think he'll be pretty cheap
you
in all
liked
formats.
Him like
so.
2 years ago, didn't you? Or
yeah, I've kind of liked him actually ago? For the last couple of years, ever since he came back from Tommy John. So, yeah, he's just one of those.
I mean, I guess I didn't pay any attention to him last year because I didn't think he's very good. But he always seemed like just kind of a ground ball pitcher to me that doesn't strike anybody out.
Yeah, his strikeouts spiked at one point. I can't exactly remember if it was last year or if it was the year before at one point. But if I remember correctly, he just started throwing the hell out of his curveball last year, and it was really working well for him. And then, of course, he missed most of the season with an injury. So,
oh, yeah, he only pitched 4 games last year, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he missed most of the year. So we're sort of split then on whether he's even a dart throw.
Well, he wouldn't. I mean, whatever. I mean, dart throws are dart throws, but I bet I'll find somebody else I like more.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. We'll see. We'll see what his ADP is. The Astros have also signed your boy Josh Reddick to a 4-year, $52 million contract.
Yeah, I've always liked Reddick. I've always thought he was kind of a better fantasy player than he gets credit for. Well, I'm maybe just a better real life player than he's been a fantasy player for some reason, but. He had that one monster 35 home run season there with the A's, and I mean that's a bad ballpark, and he still had some great years out there. So now he's going to be in a great lineup with a great ballpark. So yeah, I like Josh Reddick this year. I'm not sure exactly how high I'd put him, in terms of where I'd put him amongst outfielders, but he'll be a mid round guy that I'd be interested in.
Yeah, he got some good money last year, despite being I think he might have been like the worst outfielder in the second half last year from a certain point, because they're talking about how the Dodgers kept Puig down over Reddick
he didn't do much in LA
he did like less than nothing. He was definitely one of the worst. He might have been the worst outfielder in that span since he got traded, but he found big money anyway. You like him better than I do. I'm just not a big Reddick guy.
Well, it's just, I guess, 2015 was the year that I talked about him a lot because he was on waiver wires because he was hurt for, like, the first week of that season.
Yeah.
And, like, that year, 20 homers, 10 steals, .333 on base. He's not going to wow anybody or blow you away, but, a little bit of speed, and he can hit 20 home runs, so I like him.
Yeah, there's a chance that he blows you by surprise.
There is a chance because he has had a 30 home run season in his life.
Absolutely. Somebody who is not quite as apt to steal 30 bases this year is another Astros signing, Carlos Beltran, 1-year $16 million deal. He's going to DH, and apparently they're going to have Yulieski Gurriel play first base. So what do you think of that little mess?
Yeah, I mean, Beltran he just kind of keeps doing it year after year after year, even though he's 39 now.
Yeah, old as balls, I think, is what happens if you pull up his page on Fangraphs.
Yeah, he's 39. But, I mean, if you look at it last year, and he actually got off to a pretty bad start last year because I owned him, and he ended up with 29 homers, which is crazy. So, I mean, he's still got power. I mean, I just, I guess if they DH him every day, he could still put up a decent number of games too. So, he's probably a guy that's probably going to go even after Josh Reddick, but could maybe produce more than him because people sleep on him because he's so old.
Yeah, he's very comfortable like a pillow. He's very fluffy, so they sleep on him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's pretty round.
Right, he's
rotund.
Rotund, that's the word I was going to use as well. So in the battle of DHs, what do you think? Beltran or Thames?
Oh, Beltran. That's easy for me.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably, I think, maybe has a little bit more power upside, but Beltran hit .295 last year, .337 OBP. There's no way Thames comes close. So even if Beltran has a batting average dip, I mean, I still think he's like a .270 hitter, like floor. So that's just the other guy. I could just see him, hitting .220 very easily.
Yeah, 36% hard contact rate for Carlos Beltran last year, so he's still got it.
Yeah, he can't play in the field, and he can't really run the bases anymore, but he can hit.
There you go. That's what we want. So let's see what else we got here. Oh, the Braves. They talk about, speaking of old people, we got the Braves signing R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon to 1-year contracts. And in related news, the Braves have replaced their water cooler with a prune juice dispenser.
Yeah, that's key.
Right, yeah. I mean, you got to keep them regular.
You got to keep those guys regular. Yeah, I don't know what the hell the Braves are doing with that, but it's going to be fun.
I mean, it's just innings eaters, as far as I'm concerned. They're not competing
this
year, and they know it.
So why do they want them at all?
I would say just like, what else do they have? Like, who else are you going to throw out there? I mean,
they're going to throw Jaime Garcia out there.
I guess so. So they got him from the Cardinals. They sent John Gant and some other prospects or crappy guys anyway to the Cardinals to get Jaime Garcia. Well, what do you think? Do you like Jaime more than Dickey and or Colon?
Well, yeah. I mean, just because he's actually talented, but he's going to get hurt. I mean, I would still take him first of the three by a lot. I wouldn't draft either Colon or Dickey unless you're in like a 16-team league.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, like you said, I mean, I guess people probably will draft Garcia, but they're all streamers to me.
Yeah.
Although Bartolo Colon, I rode his big sexy behind in Dynasty all year.
You never know. I mean, really, you know, if you pick up a guy to stream him and he gets hot, then you just never drop him. You know?
That's what I did with Bart.
Exactly. And Jaime Garcia, I feel like you could draft him because if he's if he gets off to a good, until he gets hurt, you might as well ride him. And he actually started 30 games last year, so I think he might have had one DL stint is all last year. Like, he was healthy last year for the most part, which is really weird. I don't expect that to continue, but he's talented enough anyway, or he was at one point, to be rosterable. And
he made 30 starts, like you said, and he had the worst ERA of his career at 4.67.
He was bad last year, but I mean, he's the year before, you know, not 2.43 ERA, 1.05 WHIP, and that. I mean, that last year kind of felt a little bit like an aberration, but he's also getting older.
Right on. Okay, we're gonna take a little break and come right back.
Get nasty.
We are brought to you today by the Owner's Box app, which is a slick little device that you can put right on your mobile device there, and it really keeps you informed, basically, is what it does, and especially at a granular level. Like you and I, Joe, obviously being we're in the podcast biz, as they say.
In the biz, indeed.
In the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In the snooch.
Nope, they don't say that.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's where it ends. But anyway, you know, we like to be up to date, and if you're in a competitive league like we are, that's pretty much all we play in anymore, except for maybe the Baseball for Dummies League. But anyway, if something breaks and you've got this app, the news is going to pop right up. Using the Owner's Box app, you can set whatever player alerts you want. Like if you just want to follow your own fantasy players, you can just mark all those guys. You can get an alert anytime, you know, they're playing, they're benched. Basically anything. Like, it's ridiculous what you can do as far like on a real granular level. And on the team level too, you can be notified of all news, transactions, scoring plays, even when the odds have changed before a game if you're the betting type.
Ooh, and I'm not. But so here's to me what I would think would be the best part of this, Nathan. How many different sites do you play on? Or do you play all your leagues on the same website?
I play on many sites, Joseph.
Oh, how many of them? Why don't you name a few?
Well, there's Fantrax and Yahoo and CBS. I think that's it.
And some people probably play on ESPN or I don't know. I can't think
of it. I would
say
many people do. I don't for whatever reason.
I don't either. But no matter where you play, whether you play on Yahoo or CBS or any of those other places, you don't want to be checking 12 different apps to update your lineup. So this will give you the news for all your players, and then you can update your lineups accordingly.
Absolutely. And this it's not just for Major League Baseball. This is for all the major four sports: MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL. And one thing we haven't touched on for NHL fans, you can be alerted anytime someone hurls a puck into the netting, so you can yell, "Goal!"
Get nasty.
Okay, we're going to move on with some more news here. We got just a thrilling move here. Danny Valencia sent out to Seattle to platoon with Dan Vogelbach. We're really coming back with a bang.
Sure. I used to like Danny Valencia last year. I think I actually traded something for him in one of my leagues. But yeah, for some reason, Oakland absolutely hated him at the end of the year, and they were playing anyone they could think of over him.
Well, yeah, they're sort of going to the youth movement with Ryan Healy.
Yeah, they pretty much moved him off a third and only played him in the outfield. But I mean, he's a decent player, but he's up there now. He's going to be 32 and platooning, so I'm not really interested too much in either of them.
Yeah, it sucks. I got to imagine that he'll spend some time floating around the diamond, maybe sort of being a utility guy. If anybody gets hurt, he might turn into a full-time player, so that's probably when you want to pounce.
Sure.
At him in your shallower leagues. He'd even been hitting righties better the last couple of years. So.
I know, I feel like someone should give him a full-time job and he would be a really good player, but nobody seems to want to.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about Dan Vogelbach? Apparently he's going to sit against lefties.
I don't know. You've loved him for years. Apparently some big fat guy.
He is a big fat guy.
I've never watched him.
Swaggy V, he's fat.
I mean, I don't – how much – did he even come up last year?
He had a September call-up, the old side salad, as we like to say.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything. He was pretty terrible.
Okay. I just found his stats, and, yeah, he had one hit.
Yeah.
So, and one walk. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I never saw him at all, because he didn't do anything to see. So, but, no, I don't know. From everything I've heard, he's just, you know, one of those big, fat hitting machines that can't play anywhere in the field. So
pretty much, yeah.
To get a guy like that, you know, he's going to clog up your utility spot, and he needs, you know, from the sounds of it, he's not going to play a ton. So,
well, he'll be playing first base. If he doesn't qualify there right away, he should shortly. So he wouldn't necessarily have to clog up your util.
Oh, okay. I guess he has first base eligibility right now. But
yeah, there you go. So it's not quite that bad. But yeah, even with my love for him, I don't know if he's going to be platooned. I don't think he's any more than a bench bat, even in deeper leagues. You know, standard leagues, like 10, 12-team leagues, don't even give him a second look, in my opinion.
No, yeah, a lot of these guys you're not going to worry about unless you're in like a 12-team league or deeper than a 12-team league.
Okay, the Blue Jays have signed Lourdes Gurriel, Lourdes, to a 7-year, $22 million contract. What do you think of Gurriel?
That is a really good name.
Lourdes.
Not only the combination of Lourdes and Gurriel. I drafted him in the Dynasty League too, I think. I'm just taking all the young guys, but that pick that I did, it was more or less just like I didn't really like anybody, so I figured I'd take a young player that I could trade, even though this is a mock draft, but that's just kind of how I do that at those times. But from everything I've heard, he's the more, you know, because whatever the other guy's name is, Yuli.
Yeah.
He sucked pretty much in his in his time up this season. I mean, last season, you know, and he's 32. He got off to a really bad start. He only had a 292 OBP last year in 36 games and only hit 3 home runs. But from what I've heard, Lourdes is kind of the more exciting prospect. But I don't know where he's going to play in Toronto or how long, you know, how long is he going to be down in the minors?
Yeah, I think they're going to start him in AAA, I believe, if I remember correctly. Or AA, I mean, not AAA. So, yeah, I don't expect that we'll see him for a couple months into the season unless he really just starts raking out of the gate. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess teams are sort of underwhelmed with his...
Well, the Blue Jays are really in a lot of... you know, we don't know what their roster is going to look like yet.
That's true, yeah.
They got a lot of free agents right now.
Very true. And it sounds like both Bautista and Encarnacion are going to end up on different squads, so...
Yeah, there's certainly neither of them are locked to come back. It seems like most baseball free agents leave.
Yeah.
Like if you let your dude get to free agency, he's probably gone.
Right, yeah. So as far as like redraft leagues, like, you know, in Dynasty, you know, rookie drafts, he'll go fairly high. But
well, like if it's a Dynasty league where you're doing the redraft, you know, where you've already drafted your whole teams and you're just taking like the new college draft picks and those different things. He's one of the top 2-3 picks, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I think we're going to end up doing another episode on that in January. So we shall talk more about that then.
You just don't want to tip your hat at this point?
No, not really.
You don't want to play your cards? Playing it too close to the vest. I'm trying to come up with other things that I could say that don't make sense.
I frequently wear vests, and I only hold my cards tight to that.
Close vest. To them. That's the way to do it.
That's what I don't know why. That's just what everybody's always told me, so that's what I do.
Yeah, you gotta.
The Jays have also signed Kenrys Morales to a 3-year, $33 million contract. Of course, we know him as the player who was not worth a shit on the Twins for half a season and then went to Seattle and was awesome, and he's been awesome ever since.
He's really been awesome all the time except for that one little stretch on the
Twins. Yeah, basically, kind of you remember how excited we all were? I think
we were so pumped.
You in particular were like so excited for Kendrys Morales.
Well, he'd been so good everywhere else. Like, I owned him in that one points league we played in together for a while. We both quit that league now, but it was like it was like a keeper points league. And I owned him that year, and like down the stretch, he was like one of my best players. He was just raking. Yeah. And I mean, he came to the Twins, he sucked, and then they traded him for like a
nothing.
I don't know, some reliever that already blew his arm out or something like that. But yeah, I mean, just look what he did in the two seasons after that. You know, 22 homers and then 30 homers, really good on base, really good batting average. Like, yeah, just ridiculous how good he's been after that, how bad he was for that one season. But I'd say it's even maybe value more up in Toronto. I mean, although we don't, like I just said, we don't really know what the lineup's going to be, but it sounds like he's going to be one of the best hitters in the lineup.
Yeah, which is perhaps not a good thing.
No, but I mean, there's still going to be some guys there. Tulo's still going to be there.
Yeah, whatever that's worth.
I'm struggling to come up with other good players.
Kevin Pillar. He's a Pillar of strength.
Michael Saunders, I guess. But
oh, breaking news here into the Nasty Cast. Wilson Ramos has signed a 2-year deal with the Rays.
Oh, I was wondering where he would go. That's kind of value downish, I would almost say.
For sure. Well, I mean, he's going to be hard to draft anyway. I think he's going to miss a decent chunk of the season with his ACL tear. So, you know, single catcher leagues, you're not drafting him anyway.
No, yeah. But, I mean, he was probably a top 3 catcher last year when he was healthy there.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he was on fire.
He was on fire.
Yeah, I was actually hoping that the Twins would pick him up and just sort, you know, again, and just sort of use him as like a long-term perhaps option, you know, since obviously they're not competing for this year. If nothing else, you could sign him to a 2-3-year deal, and then next year if he's raking again, just deal him for, you know, more prospects or whatever.
I would have much rather had him than what they did. But
and this is 2 years, $18.25 million. So it's actually more than what the Twins paid for Jason Castro. So let's just talk about that now. The Twins signed him to a 3-year, $24 million deal, and you loved it.
No, I did not. I hated it.
Oh, my God.
You loved it.
I didn't love it, but I understood it. You know, it's not like the Twins do not care about our fantasy teams. The Twins want his defense and pitch framing, which he is apparently an elite pitch framer. So basically their whole approach is, you know, you've got just a garbage rotation, so you want to try and mold some of these younger guys that are coming up and try and shave some runs off where you can to make your team more competitive. And Kurt Suzuki was pretty horrendous defensively and I think ranked towards the bottom, if not dead last, in pitch framing. So Castro is like basically, I think, I just said his name. The old Asian guy they just got rid of.
Kurt,
oh my God.
Suzuki?
Kurt Suzuki, yeah. He was like negative 15 or something defensive run saved last year, whereas Castro was like plus 15, basically, like the exact opposite.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, I'm fine, so maybe it helps the pitching staff, and their pitching staff sucks anyway. I just like as a fan, you don't want to watch this guy hit. Like he's hit 210 the last two seasons, like on the nose.
Yeah, well, so
it's just a little bit frustrating to see these guaranteed outs in the lineup. But
yeah. Well, he's got a lot more power than Suzuki did too. So there's that. They're sort of like opposite profiles that way.
Yeah, I mean, I owned him actually in more than one league that, you know, two catcher leagues, obviously. There's no reason that you're kind of dipping down that far. And, oh, man, he's just – I just hate him.
Well, if there's new listeners out there and they're wondering why we're talking about Twins so much, it's because we're Twins fans. We reside in North Dakota, so they are our squad. So that's why we banter about them maybe a little more than we should. But anyway, yeah, he's not worth a fantasy – add in anything.
I wouldn't even draft him in a two catcher. I wouldn't even draft him in a two catcher league.
Right, he's like an AL only two catcher.
Yeah, that would be where. Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, Let's go back to the Phillies signing Joaquin Benoit. Is he going to close?
I would hope not, but you never know. I mean, what's his name should fall apart at any moment.
Is that Genmar Gomez?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting for him to blow all the saves that he converted last year somehow. I know. Like, retroactively, they'll go back and be like, oh, wait.
Yeah, that should never have happened.
That made no sense.
You guys, this can't stand in the record books.
Yeah, we're changing all these.
We've got to go back.
Yeah.
But I actually, you know, Hector Neris was the guy who I was really hoping would grab the closer's job at the end of the season. Really didn't quite take the bull by the horn, so to speak. I picked him up in as many leagues as I could, thinking forward to 2017. Of course, as a dynasty leagues. Looking forward to 2017 where he would be closing. I pulled up a roster resource now. They did slot in Joaquin Benoit as a closer, but we'll see. He was not effective last year, and he's old as balls. So
yeah, I don't know if he's any better. So
no, he would be.
I mean, then Gomez is what I meant.
Yeah, and you know, Gomez, obviously, he was one of the guys that came out of nowhere last year. He was like the number 30, you know, maybe the number 40 out of 30, closer option that came off the board. Probably not.
He was never drafted anywhere because he was like the fifth guy you would have thought of in that bullpen.
Yeah, so it's based on skills. Hector Neris is the guy that you want to own. I would probably just avoid Benoit if it possible, and maybe stash Neris. And I can't imagine it'll be too long before Benoit loses his job. But we're looking forward months and months there, so we'll see how that shakes out. The Giants have signed Mark Melancon, though, to a 4-year contract, Joe. Obviously, he's going to be the closer there, so what do you think? Value up, down, or the same? Going to San Francisco.
He was always a closer, so it's not like it's up that much. But it's a good place to pitch. Good team. They did ruin their little streak of winning the World Series in every odd numbered year or whatever. But still, no, he's still going to be a top, for sure, top 10 closer, maybe top 5 closer.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know.
People don't go, you know, he doesn't go as, you know, the number 1, 2, or 3 because he doesn't strike out 100 guys.
Yeah.
But he seems to always be one of the league leaders in saves. Like, you know, that's just weird. I mean, there's no consistency to the amount of saves you get because it's just whether or not the manager decides to put you in. But, I mean, he's all, you know, 51 and 47 the last 2 years.
Right. Yeah. So
ridiculous. Whereas guys like Chapman or Kenley Jansen and some of those guys neither of them have had 50.
Nah, and they're going to get a lot more money, too. Wherever they sign, which we have yet to find out. But the Dodgers have re-signed Rich Hill. Obviously, you value the same there. But are you going to draft him at all this year?
You know, I can't say like for sure that I will, but I like Rich Hill. If not for the apparently worst blister in the history of mankind, yeah. Like he would have had a really great year last year. He missed like a month with that blister. But, I mean, he was great when he pitched.
When the season ended, I kept waiting to hear some kind of news story that had been kept on the hush-hush all year. Like, God, Rich Hill has this obsession with, like, shaping wood, you know, and he's just, like, grinding down and sanding. So he just couldn't stop himself, and the blister wouldn't go away. But, no.
He's just, like, OCD, and he just couldn't stop. Yeah, I don't know. But he was amazing last year. I mean, it was whip of one, and ERA was like a little bit over 2. He was striking out well over batter printing. I mean, part of the reason I think that the blister was so important is because he's just throwing curveballs like crazy. But I mean, he's kind of one of those noodle arm guys, and I don't know if that's even going to affect him. I don't know if he's already probably had every surgery you can have. He's 36. Like,
yeah, I'd be a lot more willing to invest in him in a redraft league than a dynasty startup, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, for sure.
The Padres have traded Derek Norris to the Nationals for right-handed pitcher Pedro Avila. What do you think of the value for Derek Norris?
I guess anybody getting out of San Diego is a value up to an extent.
I guess so, yeah.
But I'm not too excited about him.
No, he was horrible last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see he maintained – I should look it up again. He had a really nice hard hit rate for most of the year, and I actually traded for him, which clearly did not work. I thought he would bounce back in the second half, and really didn't. So
he hit 186 last year, so that's not good.
No, 238 BABIP, though. I mean, yeah. I guess he did have a 30% K rate, so that's not good. I did not see that.
Well, yeah. Dude. I mean, he still hit 14 homers. And, I mean, catcher is such a garbage dump that you got to draft somebody. So, I don't know. Maybe he's worth a shot. He stole 9 bases, which is shocking to me.
That is weird, yeah. Yeah, like 34% hard contact rate. So, I mean, that's nothing to shake a stick at. Although he did have his highest swinging strike rate, 11.1, of his career by far, more than 2 points above his 2015 season. So apparently he decided to swing for the fences a little bit, except none of the balls actually cleared the fence.
Well, 14 of them did, but...
Yes, but he had 14 in 2015 as well. So, yeah, that does not make it worth it. So maybe I'm not really on the Norris bandwagon for a rebound. We'll see. Anyway, let's see. The Mets have re-signed Yoenis Cespedes. Nothing much to analyze there since he's staying with the same team. So we'll move on to our last bit of news here. The Mariners have sent Ketel Marte and Taijuan Walker to the Diamondbacks for Jean Segura, Mitch Haniger, and Zach Curtis. So let's start off with probably the biggest piece, Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, I mean, apparently the Mariners are pretty down on him because if he really was going to be one of the next aces, you know, what he was supposed to be, you wouldn't do this deal. I mean, yeah, you're getting a way better option at shortstop because Ketel Marte sucks, but I can't see giving up Taijuan Walker if you still think he's going to become an ace, and now he's going to pitcher hell.
You were supposed to stop me when I said that. You know, Jean Segura obviously is the biggest piece in that trade. He was my boy, then you tried to steal him from me and make him your boy.
Yeah, and then when I took him, when I did do that, he didn't do anything.
So then we were both off from last. No, I don't think we were both off from last year. But I think.
Well, you were more in on the other guy.
Cautiously optimistic. What, Jose Ramirez?
No, the other guy that stole all the bases in Milwaukee.
Oh, VR. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was my boy last year.
So, they kind of seem like the same guy to me.
Yeah. Segura's butt is getting too big to steal bases, though, man. Like, I mean, I feel like 30 is sort of Segura's ceiling nowadays.
I guess, but that's still enough. In today's modern world of lack of speed, but yeah, I don't know. He'll be fine in Seattle. I don't have any worries about him going out there. I mean, he might not. He shouldn't hit 20 home runs. He shouldn't hit 20 home runs last year, but, and you know, going to Seattle won't help that. But he's, you know, you want him for speed anyway, so hopefully he can steal 30 bases again. The Taijuan Walker thing is just the most interesting part of it to me.
Yeah, it is weird to see them. He's still so young, you know.
I know, so I just don't – they must really – they don't believe in him at all, giving up on him like that.
Well, all they did is dick with his mechanics constantly, like, oh, shorten your stride, lengthen your stride.
Yeah.
Like, throw up here, throw down there. And it just – he could never really get it going. He got injured last year, and, you know, I guess they were just done with it. But it really does seem like finally the Diamondbacks sort of got the upper hand on somebody in a trade.
Yeah, I think they're clearly getting the better end of the deal, but that it won't be the case if they ruin him like they ruined every other pitcher that they've gotten.
Yeah, I guess
they just have such a bad track record with.
Yeah, well, you know, they got new ownership, new management now, so perhaps they'll find somebody that knows how to develop some pitching. Maybe.
Yeah. That's,
you know, a similar hope with the Twins.
It's still a way worse ballpark and everything. Like, it's not like it's good for Taijuan Walker, but maybe the new pit or the new coaching will help him out a little bit.
Yeah, that is the thing. I mean, I would say value down, like, for all of these guys, except maybe Ketel Marte.
Yeah, maybe he's the only guy that gets a little tick up. But I mean, it's going to be hard to be too interested in him, especially for you. I mean, you lost so many Ketel Marte bets last year.
I might have lost one bet to Chris McBrien.
And one to me as well.
Yeah. Well,
I don't remember who it was against, but I won for sure.
I don't know. God.
Elcides Escobar, I think.
Oh, God. Yeah, Marte, 119 games last year, so he missed a fair chunk of the season. But even when he did play, he was pretty crappy.
Oh,
kinda,
yeah.
He's kind of like Segura in that, like, he's never seen a pitch he doesn't like. He just swings at everything. He doesn't walk. You know, some speed, but... 11 last year.
No, he was far better in that short little stint in 2015.
Yeah,
as far as plate discipline and yeah,
but still just no power. Whereas Segura, I would expect average power from him, even going to Safeco. You know,
yeah, he should at least hit double digits rather than two.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's definitely nothing to sneeze at in fantasy. You know, if you're trying to decide between similar players like
that. Well, yeah, in fantasy, but I don't know what it if it makes that big of a difference for the Mariners to have dumped Taiwan Walker, but whatever.
No, yeah, I disagree with that. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with some Dynasty League chatter. All right, so we have been participating in a NastyCast Dynasty League mock draft to pass the time in the cold winter months. We've assembled a group of listeners who chimed in and said, hey, we want in on some of this good action. And brought in a couple experts as well. We got, of course, the great Nick Duran Duran. I should probably say it normally, Nick Duran.
Well, no, he's always hungry like the wolf.
He is. From Roto World and the Dynasty Guru. We also got, of course, the great Tim Cloud, who we all know from the Prospect 361 podcast. We got Jim Finch, who is a writer for Fantasy Assembly, as well as Today's Knuckleball.
And he's that guy that has Pinky on the Brain on his Twitter picture.
Exactly, yeah.
That's how I know him.
And we got a bunch of other schmoes along with us. So we got, of course, Spencer Hamilton. We got Walter. Who else we got here? Alan, of course, who almost won the podcast league last year. Van Shipley, friend of the podcast. And we got the great Barry Baker. We got Doug Cooper, Andrew McQuist, and Evan Booth, and our beloved Chupatka, Jesse Jordan, along with the two of us, in this 15-team Dynasty mock draft. So I think we'll kind of go through a couple rounds here. We don't have too much time left, but sort of pick some of the picks that stood out to us, whether they be good or you sort of thumb your nose at them.
Sure. I mean, we can just start right at number at 1-1 just because – and I don't know that Spencer meant to do it, but he waited like 8 hours and then he took Mookie Betts. I still wouldn't take Mookie Betts number one, but
– No, it's – this is on Fantrax for whatever reason. I guess based on some kind of point total or whatever from last year, he was rated first overall.
Yeah. I mean, he's a top, I don't know, 3-4 guy. Like, I could maybe see taking him third, but I wouldn't have taken him number one for sure. But anyway, so Spencer took Mookie Betts number one.
Yeah, well, he was dealt Mookie Betts. He was he just got with his pants down as far as when the draft was starting, so.
I guess. But, I mean, it's not like you're killing your team there. You know, you're still doing all right.
No, I mean, obviously, I think if you asked 100 people, 99 of them would say Mike Trout over Mookie Betts, but.
Yeah. So anyway, I got Mike Trout because I had the second pick. Chris Bryant really deserves – I mean, he deserves to be the third pick, but he's really had a pretty massive lift to his value. Because, I mean, unless you do one of these, you really kind of don't realize, you know, who really is. Because Dynasty is so much different than Redraft. So Chris Bryant, you know, he definitely wouldn't have been the third overall pick last year.
No. Yeah. There's a lot of people worried about how much swing and miss was in his game, but he's just such a terrific hitter. He grew by leaps and bounds in his approach at the plate, and he's just got a ton of power as well. So I got no problems
He went one pick ahead of Bryce Harper, which would have been crazy last year, but this year I would have done the same thing, like pretty easily actually.
Yeah, and it still to me feels like Bryce Harper at four is sort of like gold, you know. I don't know what your stance is on Bryce Harper.
Well,
he's sort of a divisive player because he was crap this year, but I think that's just because he was hurt.
Yeah, it's just that, I mean, I'm not worried about him talent-wise. I'm just worried about him. Is he ever going to put it all together and be healthy and do everything? And even if he is, like in a dynasty league, you don't want like 1 year every once in a while of healthy. You want a guy that's solid as a rock and does it every year. So that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know. I mean, he's got to go in the top five or six, but I don't know if I'd be the guy that takes him.
Man, I think that this is like the time to buy Bryce Harper then.
Well, you're probably right.
Yeah.
It's just the injuries concern me because there are guys out there that just never – I mean, maybe they have one or two healthy seasons, but they're always, you know, a little nicked up and it just kind of caps their upside.
Yeah, I would like to think that as he gets a little older, gets a little wiser, that he'll stop, you know, running into walls and – maybe antagonizing.
Yeah, but I don't
people.
Know that any of his injuries last year were running into wall related, but still.
No, yeah. I'm still buying the Harper.
Okay, I mean, I just like the people that got taken ahead of him, I agree with. You know, Trout's easy, but I would take Betts and I would take Bryant over him. I mean, you know, after that, it gets pretty hard to justify. Like, Jose Altuve went next. You know, I mean, I could see doing it, but. Over Harper, that is, but I probably wouldn't. So maybe Harper's probably correct to take him right there at four in my book.
And six was Paul Goldschmidt, Tim McLeod, Nolan Arenado went to Jim Finch at 7, and then Anthony Rizzo. I will spell his name because I don't want him to come running again.
No, no, you don't. But yeah, it might have been a little early on him, actually. But I mean, he's a great player.
Yeah, the next pick was Manny Machado. I would have definitely taken Manny over Rizzo, but
just for position eligibility, because Machado has actually got shortstop for next year.
Yeah. Well, and even still, I'd rather have even a if he just shifts fast. Yeah, I'd rather have third base than first base, but I don't hate that spot for the Riz.
No, it's not. It's not like anything that I would kill anybody for. Barry Baker took Stanton next, and that one, like, I think he's a second rounder now in a dynasty league, and I own him in a dynasty league, but I still don't think he's a first rounder.
I do.
That's
agree.
Just, his injuries are way worse than Harper's even.
Yeah, he's just a guy who seems to get hurt no matter what. Even you know. Obviously, he got hit in the face that one time. You can't really predict that. But still, every year he's hurt.
Yeah.
He even had a crappy batting average this year, too.
I know. So. Like, he's I think that my favorite baseball player to watch is Giancarlo Stanton. But I can't take him at number 8 or whatever that is.
Yeah, he is fun as hell to watch. Like, I mean, the laser shots.
He's easily my favorite player to watch. Like, which is why I was so – like, I traded for him last year in our Dynasty League. And, like, he – you know, obviously just because – sometimes it just works out like that. Like, as soon as I traded for him, he went on this 5 homers in 4 games binge or whatever. And it's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just the injuries just make him – and he's the guy that I just think is absolutely going to do that where, like, he'll have some years where he helps win you the league and then he'll have some years when he tanks your team.
Yeah. So we've got him who is questionable, but I think the next pick was a flat mistake. Max Scherzer going before Clayton Kershaw at 11.
You just can't do it.
You just can't do that.
No.
Nothing more to say there. Carlos Correa at 12. That also feels like a bargain to me. I would have put him a couple spots higher.
I like that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. He's you know, a down year given his expectations after his big rookie season.
Yeah, we were talking about him at 3 last year, and he didn't really crap the bed or anything. He just was – this is the year – this like if you're doing a dynasty startup, like this is the year to get Correa too if you have one of those.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I feel like Clayton Kershaw now too, who I took at 13. Like if you get him at 13, I was
well, that's impressive.
Stoked.
Yeah, that's an easy pick. I don't think he'll go that late usually. I still think he'll go like 5, 6, 7. That seems to be like where he's gone the last like 3 years. I think that's where he still should go. But
so what do you think of this next pick? Trey Turner to Evan Booth with pick 14.
I'm in favor of it. I'm going to be a Trey Turner supporter this year. I mean, I know there's people that aren't going to believe in the puppet.
You're not going to Turner the other cheek?
No. As much as I'd like to make more Turner puns, I don't know if we have a whole lot of time here. So
you're right. Let's Turner the page.
Yes.
On to Corey Seager, who went with the last pick of the draft to Jesse Jordan.
Yeah, Seager's a good pick. I don't know. Then he took Syndergaard. Syndergaard might worry me a little bit with his injury potential. You know, he just seems like the violent delivery might lead to some problems, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but still, he would be probably number 2 on my dynasty rankings if I were to do one.
He's got all the upside in the world, I guess. I might take Sale over him, but
yeah.
I mean, and now
just
Sale's
younger, so.
Yeah, he is. I just, you know, you watch him pitch and you can just see how violent he throws, so.
Right, and he's already got bone spurs and whatnot, so.
Yeah.
A little risky there taking a pitcher that high, but anyway,
it's not bad.
Not bad at all. I'm just fine with him there. Josh Donaldson was the next pick at 17. Any qualms with that?
No. I mean, I think, you know, maybe we should try it. We can try and get through like the first 3 full rounds and maybe call her. So unless we see anything, we don't have to say too much with it. Donaldson's just a guy that's going to produce, so I'm good with it.
Yeah. What is he, 31, 32 now?
I think he's 31.
Somewhere in there. So that's,
I think he's 31.
Yeah, like if he was 5 years younger, he'd be probably top 5, you know, with his level of production. But he's just a little older, so he gets dinged in the dynasty format. Whereas, actually, George Springer, I always think that he's like 25 years old, but he's like 28 now. He's 27, 28. He went at pick 18. Oh, to me, I took him. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, you did take him.
But this is
– I would have personally taken Marte over Springer, so that would be –
Who went next?
Who went next?
I thought about it. This is an OBP league, and George Springer does draw a lot of walks. So we did forget to mention that off the jump, that this is a 5x5 roto draft with OBP instead of batting average and quality starts instead of wins, which is what we like to call the Nasty Cats.
Sure, yeah, that's what everybody calls it. Yeah, I just like Marte because he steals. I think he's going to steal so many more bases than Springer. I'm kind of out on Springer for speed, but
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Cabrera went next. I don't have any beef. That's a win now pick.
And
still,
you know what? I will say, going back to Springer versus Marte, if I could go back in time, I would rather take Marte because my team, the way it's shaken out so far, I have a lot of power and no speed. So.
Oh, okay. Well, AJ Pollock, you took next, so that's some speed.
Yeah, that's my only guy.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. If that's your only guy, then that's not good. But, yeah, I just – I mean, part of it is everybody's probably going to overreact to the lack of speed from last year, but I like the Marte pick. That was one of my favorite picks there.
Consistently has a high batting average as well, so it's not like the OBP is going to be terrible since he hits for such a better batting average than Springer.
Exactly. So, yeah, we went Cabrera, Odor, the next couple picks, Freddie Freeman. You know, I don't know about that one, but I would have taken Will Myers ahead of Freddie Freeman. Who went next?
Yeah, Freeman is – he's got a better floor for me. You know, Will Myers, we saw it obviously all come together for him last year. I wonder moving forward how much he's going to continue to steal bases. Seems like he's just sort of, you know, found out how to do it and he likes doing it. And as long as the Padres let him, then what the hell?
Yeah,
but, you know, he was brought up, you know, the calling card was his power, and Freeman, pretty steady Eddie, you know what I mean? Like, I like having that rock at first base, and he's not even 30 yet, so.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, at first base actually gets crappy in a big, big hurry.
So right, yeah, it's not as deep as it used to be.
No, that's what she said. Yeah, Lindor went. Like, we got Lindor, Charlie Black. You know, at Lindor, it's just nice to get the corner infielder locked up. He's super young. Xander Bogaerts went a couple picks later. I might have taken Bogaerts over Lindor.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are on record as saying that Francisco Lindor will be irrelevant in fantasy, so clearly you don't like him.
I don't know why he's going this early since he's irrelevant.
Right. I don't know. I'm good with Lindor there. It's tough to choose between them two, which is weird to say. I never would have thought that, but maybe Xander for the lineup.
Yeah, I mean they're both really good, I guess.
Although, really, like if you without Poppy, if you look at that Boston lineup now, there's really nobody like there's not any huge thumper like right in the middle who you know is going to hit 40 home runs or something like that. Sort of missing some pop now that he's gone.
Well, now they got Mitch Moreland, so that should solve that.
That's true. Anyway, Madison Bumgarner went next after Bogaerts, followed by Joey Votto at 28 overall, who he definitely gets a bump in OBP leagues. He's like, is where he needs to go in an OBP league.
I guess, and I'm a little bit maybe too pro Votto, but which is kind of funny. Sounds funny, pro Votto. I don't know. But I might have taken Votto over all those other first basemen.
Oh, boy.
I really like Votto, but.
Yeah.
Well, for Freddie Freeman, for sure. Even despite the age.
Yeah. I don't know. In an OBP league, I can see that. I don't know if I'd necessarily do it. But
he still hits, he's still going to hit 25 to 30 home runs. I mean, he's not only OBP.
Yeah, that's true.
What does Freddie Freeman do that's better than Joey Votto other than be younger?
That's literally it.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. I would just take Votto, I guess. But
that was going to be my answer, is he's just – EB's younger. But anyway, to round out the second round, we got Gregory Polanco and Chris Sale. I don't think either of us have any beef with that.
Well, one of them was my pick, so no.
Right, yes. And then we had Spencer taking Jonathan VR with the first pick of the third round. What do you think of that?
I wouldn't have taken him that early. I think he's more like a fifth rounder at best. But, I mean, you're locking up middle infield and you're getting a ton of speed.
Yeah. I could go on for days about VR. I do think there's some regression to be had. But, so this is even a little early for me. But getting that speed, along with some pretty solid power at this point is, you can justify the pick. It's just...
Yeah, I wouldn't have made it.
Not quite this high. Yoan Moncada, probably the worst pick of the entire draft here from pick 32 from Joe Osachi. Oh, that's you. You want to justify that?
Well, I just – everybody – if he comes up, like, even if he doesn't start
everybody.
The season. Yeah, rock the Moncada. Everybody's going to want him. Like, I can do whatever I want. If this was a real league, I could do whatever I wanted with him. Everybody's going to want him. He's going to be the biggest trade chip in the league. You know, I mean, this league is not going for prospects the way that it's gone. You know, people are pretty
– yeah.
People are pretty, you know, pretty tame in the prospect. But in any of the other dynasty leagues I've ever done, young guys are just absolute gold, and you can trade them for whatever you want.
Right, and that's
and Moncada has a chance to play this season. Like, that's pretty damn good. Like, you're getting this guy. You're not going to be waiting for 2 years to get the production out of him.
Absolutely, yeah. He's sort of a, you know, being billed as one of those generational prospects, and if you know to get one of those guys at this point, like you said, just to have the young guy. Before he fails is pretty much gold in a dynasty league.
I don't know that I'd even keep him if this was a real league, but I would do that pick just because I can get whatever I want for him.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's another thing as far as strategy goes. Like, if you're in a dynasty startup draft and you're trying to decide between, like, I don't know, Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. You know, who's the next pick, and that's why I said him. Obviously, go with the younger guy, because even if, like, they fail to the same extent, Yelich is going to be worth a lot more just because he's so much younger.
Yeah. I mean, in this particular – you can see that because Lorenzo Cain went 7 rounds later.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, not a good example exactly, but that's just an age.
Yeah, we get your point, though. Right, if you're deciding between two guys, go with the young guy.
And another young guy is Byron Buxton, who went to Walter McMichael with the 34th pick.
Seemed insane, I guess. I didn't even notice that at the time. But he's just fallen off so much, I think you could have waited a lot longer to take him.
Perhaps, but I wouldn't be surprised if you do a 15-team draft, like if there's somebody who's going to pop him right around there, you know.
I guess.
Somebody who's still in on him.
Just because he went two picks away from Moncada. Moncada has all the prospect type in the world, and Buxton at this point kind of has – well, he doesn't have none of it, but a lot of the luster's worn off.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to be, you know, Cameron Maybin.
Blue. Yeah.
So, which I still hold out hope that he'll be better than that, but it's been around a couple years.
Yeah. It's just all the luster of 2 years ago is gone. Yeah. In terms of, like, as a trade asset.
So if you really want him, then you have to take him there, but I would probably try and just see if you could wait another round or two. Especially if it's a points league where, like, steals don't really count, then definitely going to be worth a lot less. Brian Dozier, pretty nice pick here at 35 overall, especially in OBP league. Then you got Addison Russell to Tim McLeod at pick 36 and David Dahl. Any of those seem out of place to you?
No. I mean, yeah, the pick that seems out of place to me is Buxton. I like the Addison Russell pick. I'd have taken him ahead of VR myself for sure, just if you're looking at guys that, you know, if you were looking for a shortstop at that pick, I'd rather had Russell. I was thinking about David Dahl as well, and I didn't, you know, I'm definitely hoping that he'd be there for my next pick, and he wasn't.
Yeah,
obviously.
I really, really like David Dahl. Justin Verlander went next. Allen has since stated that was a drunken auto pick error.
he was an ace last year. It's just that he's old, and he hadn't been for like 2 years before that. But
yeah, so it's not the worst pick ever, but definitely don't take Verlander in the third round in a dynasty league draft.
No.
You blame that on too much rum in the Dominican Republic, which he was on vacation this week. Good for you. You suck. Anthony Rendon went with the next pick to Van Shipley. We all love the Rendon, so I don't think we have any problem there. Although him going in front of Jose Abreu is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's position eligibility, but, I mean, you get to first base, like we said, sucks, so.
Yeah, I still think, I mean, Jose Abreu, he had a down year, but he still is like a 30-homer, 100-RBI guy with a decent average. He's not that old, so.
Abreu is another person that was in my queue for sure to actually take at the start of the third, you know, so. Yeah. And I think Rendon was there too, but yeah, I probably would take Abreu over him, but it's not a huge miss by Van there, in my opinion.
No, but yeah, not necessarily. I would rather have Abreu myself. Segura went off with the next pick. Miguel Sano at pick 42, again, OBP league, a lot different value than a standard batting average league, and I still like him there. I still hold out hope that he's going to be markedly better. He's going to cut some of the swing and miss out of his game. I think
I sure
he'll
hope so.
Yeah, he'll. I mean, yeah. If he doesn't, then it's not a good pick. But I do think that he'll be able to make a little more contact. He'll never be, you know, maybe he always hovers around 30% strikeout rate, but I don't think for a career he'll be around 35%. AJ Pollock was my pick at 43. I'm still pretty in on him despite the lost season last year, which killed me in a league, but I'm not going to go into that. Edwin Encarnacion went next, and then Corey Kluber was taken by Jesse Jordan to round out the third round. So any takeaways from those last guys there?
I was wondering how long Encarnacion would fall, or how long he would last, I guess, because I think he's, you know, in a redraft. Well, depending on where he goes, but I mean, I assume he's going to go somewhere where he's a decent hitting environment, and he's the kind of guy that it really doesn't matter. He could hit on the moon or wherever you put him. So,
right, yeah, you got Moon Bear always throwing him softballs.
Exactly. So I think that was a really good pick. Just, you know,
the real struggle is when Moon Squid has a baseball in each tentacle and he starts throwing them rapid fire. You know,
it's hard to,
he has to hit all of them. Yeah,
I know, it's hard to keep up. So I like the Encarnacion pick. I was wondering when he would go off the board.
Yeah, you know,
I think that it's probably a good, you know, I mean, if you're going to make picks, and he's the same guy took Encarnacion and Donald and Donaldson. So, like, and then he also has Trey Turner and Billy Hamilton, his first four picks. So he's got home runs and steals are looking pretty good for that guy.
Well, that is true. Yeah, and it's, you got youth and age there, which there's nothing wrong with that. You can take a couple veterans. You know, don't be afraid to take the win now guys, you know.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I don't know. You know, maybe E5 is one of those guys that can keep belting 30 bombs until he's 40.
I think he actually is like a David Ortiz type of guy, but
yeah, he could be. I put him on the trade block in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League. I'm gonna see what, you know, put some feelers out there, maybe see what I can get for him. I don't think he's gonna fall off a cliff by any means, but I'm kind of worried about him aging a little poorly. He's been a guy who's been nicked up in the past, so
yeah. Oh, and we don't know where he's gonna play yet.
That too, yeah. If he goes to God, he's not gonna sign with the Padres or anything, but I don't know. We'll see. Apparently, he's not going to the Red Sox anymore, so that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that'd have been fun. I'd be fine with him just staying in Toronto. That was always fun.
Oh, I know. Yeah, hopefully he stays there. But anyway, I think that's going to wrap us up. You got anything else you want to get out there before we take off, Joe?
I just got to say coconut.
Oh, that's right. That's our safe word. That means that we are done.
I probably should have said it 18 minutes ago.
You probably should have, but I don't have to deal with your wife. You do, so there's that. I guess I don't really have anything to plug in the off season. I was going to say, follow my work at Fantistics and Fantasy Alarm, but I'm not doing a whole lot. I'm just doing some notes at Fantasy Alarm right now, so don't really look too much into that. Just, we are going to post the draft results on the fantasyamateurs.com. And if you follow our Twitter accounts, then we'll tweet that out when everything is done. You can look at the results, and we're going to do another podcast focused solely around the draft. And well, I guess whatever more hot stove stuff we have, but we're gonna have some special guests. We're gonna talk to some of the experts that participated in the Dynasty League draft next time around. So look for that in the coming weeks. Until then, maybe Fantasy Cats.